All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
I labeled our show on our Facebook page. I labeled it episode 63/3. Right?
Yeah. Week 3, episode 63.
Right. Right.
You told me before we started that you're not dead yet. So you doing all right?
I'm doing all right. I mean, doesn't it's just so surreal, like the whole thing, like I don't know. Like what are you gonna do?
But you're gearing up for some, like, it's life events are about to start happening while you're stuck at home. You got birthdays.
Yeah, I mean, we got the big 18-year-old birthday coming up.
Oh my word!
So we have all kinds of special plans to celebrate Kayla's 18th birthday.
Yeah.
And then my dad, he's got a birthday later in April, the 21st, I think.
You'll figure it out eventually.
I mean, yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll probably figure it out. Yeah, I don't know. We're doing our thing. I mean, we're, you know, everybody's it's just so different. Like, I know that, like, we talked about this last week, but just to sort of, you know, it's still going on. It's still a strange thing. Like, some people are leaving their house and going to work, and some people are not only not leaving the house, but also unemployed and stressed out. And, you know, there's an incredible amount of weird shit going on.
Oh yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's strange.
Yeah. It's the way that it's affecting people is just crazy. You know, like stress, like you're really seeing your friends go through their stress zones and you know, I'm making light of it, but at the same time, it's like, it's a serious thing, but it's, you ever want to know what it's like to live with someone? Now you can see what they would be like to live with them the way they're acting.
Okay. You're absolutely right. And I want to put a fine point on it.
Yeah.
All right. This is what we refer to as the true colors test. Right. And so, uh-huh. If you're kind of an asshole, right?
Uh-huh.
You will quickly be revealed in these times to be a total asshole. If you're a sweet, kind-hearted person, then you'll be revealed to. You'll be busy finding ways to cheer people up, or spread happiness, or put positivity out into the universe. But no matter how you want to, like, label it. Like, it brings out, like, the true colors. It's like Cindy Lauper. Like, it's her time to shine.
All right. Here's the big quarantine question that's going around my office and everyone's just up in the air about. And I want to know what your plan is.
Okay.
What are you going to do about haircuts? I got boys already in hats. They're like, I can't be seen without my hat anymore. It's gone too long.
Well, I don't have that problem because I'm not pretty enough for it to matter. What I'm worried about is it's not really a question of what I'm going to look like. What I have to worry about is how bored is Marley going to get before she decides today is haircut day. And I'm like dozing off in the couch bed, like, you know, having a chill nap in the afternoon. And I wake up and she's kind of like, like, I'm telling you, it could happen.
This is going to be, the 20s are going to be revolutionized by the hairstyles. They're going to call them quarantine hairstyles.
Right.
People are going to come out with the wackiest dudes.
Well, yeah, and you know, a lot of people's, you know, true, like we were saying before about like true colors.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, your hair color, like, that's going to be coming out too.
I didn't realize you were a brunette this whole time.
Hey, but it's funny because, you know, I think we discussed earlier, way back, but so when I was a kid, I had long hair, pretty long, like good down past my shoulders and everything. And so we were talking about lately, we were kind of like, hey, maybe this will be when Dad grows his hair back, you know, grows his hair out again. And like the thought crossed my mind. And then I saw this idiot friend of mine on Facebook, you know, with all like, you know, the big, just looked like an idiot. And I was like, that's exactly what I would look like if I grew my hair out. Like, I had my chance. I was 19 years old or 20 or whatever, you know, I'm sure it looked goofy as hell, but you know, when you're 20 years old, like you're supposed to be goofy, you know?
Right. Right. So, plus
I'm gonna get a haircut.
If you did that now, I don't think that there would be a time that I saw you that I wouldn't ask if you would put it in pigtails. So you're saving yourself from that.
All right, so I'll definitely keep that in my notes. Deciding. I've also, I mean, the other thing is like, now you just live with, you have a beard, right. But like, I've been growing periodic beards because I could, like, I take like 2 days to get a full on beard. So, snap. You know.
I shaved this morning. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. All right. So listen, we dug up some movie news. Not a shit ton, but enough to piece together. I put a post on Facebook and a little teaser about Moonstruck.
Yeah.
And I said, all this and so much less.
Well, I was surprised. Okay. Take this as you will. The news that we do have kind of gave me some hope.
In the big picture of things, we had this was a milestone week. Mm-hmm. Like, all kidding aside, there were some big news that came out. I spoke to some of my friends from studios that I'm still sort of, we're kind of all staying in touch, trying to compare notes and keep, what did you hear? Oh, I heard this. What did you hear? And this was a big week, and everybody started talking about how the studios, I don't want to be like over dramatic about it or anything, like, but it was nice. It was refreshing. It was the first time since we've been on lockdown that we started hearing news about studios committing to what they are going to do. So all the news before was what movies are not coming out, what release dates have been, you know, gone, you know, and blown away.
Right.
And now, you know, we have a pretty thick, you know, pretty rich slate of new release dates. So you want to walk us through at least the Disney ones here?
Yeah. Okay. So Disney/Marvel's got a new schedule, and this is kind of, I'm just going to read this verbatim from what I read in the article, because it sets it up pretty good.
Wait, why do we call them Disney/Marvel?
Well, because it's some Disney movies and some Marvel movies. We could just say Disney, I guess. But,
I'm saying.
I mean, I guess you could. All right, so Disney. As they call it on the street. All right, Mulan to hit theaters on an optimistic July 24th, which was previously meant to be the release date for the live-action Jungle Cruise movie, whose release date has been pushed all the way back to July 30th, 2021. Similarly, Black Widow's theatrical premiere has now been pushed to November 6th, which required other Marvel Cinematic films to be shifted in turn. The Eternals will be bumped to May 21st, 2021, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, the May 21st, 2021 was Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness's original intended launch date. Doctor Strange won't be going mad until November 5th, 2021. And that change pushed Thor Love and Thunder's release date to February 28th, 2022.
Thorf.
Curiously, Captain Marvel 2's release date is moving from July 8th, 2022. And also noted, the untitled Indiana Jones film has been pushed back a year from July 9th, 2021 to July 29th, 2022. And there's no update on what's happening with New Mutants. The movie that everyone's been... I mean, it almost came out, and then it took a pandemic to take it down.
And I, working backwards on this list, I still say they should have released it. And then, you know, they could have just been like, oh, well, you know, the numbers were terrible and because of the pandemic, and, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. Nobody saw it. It's so weird, but it was released.
Or the other thing is... they should release it online and nobody would care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no theater owners, nobody would, like, blink. Nobody, oh, cool, New Mutants is online, great.
If they released New Mutants today,
right?
Unless we wanted to talk about it on the show because we were that desperate, I probably would, it would be months before I watched it. Probably. I'd probably forget that it came out and then be like, oh, yeah.
I'm 100% on the same page. I would like scroll on it, like, and see it, and then keep. Well, I wonder what else is on.
Yeah, I got other things I can watch.
Right. Now the other one that I kind of wanted to call a little bit of bullshit on is Indiana Jones. Like, are we really?
I mean, they keep saying it's coming.
I mean, he's an old dude now.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about 2022.
I don't, dude, unless it's him, because aren't they supposed to make two of them?
I guess. I think it's, I don't, here's the thing. Tom Cruise has somehow shown.
That he's the best Indiana Jones.
Right. No, follow my train of thought.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, the star of Mission Impossible and so many exciting action movies, has shown that he has never dropped a beat. Right. And maybe he has, but, you know, he in big picture things, he really hasn't. He continues to make awesome adventure, action, spy movies, and he's like 100 years old, but nobody really cares, and he continues to kick ass. And part of that, I think, is because he just keeps on doing it. He never stopped doing it. Kind of like Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
Harrison Ford, who, frankly, I enjoy as much or more than Stallone or Tom Cruise, but he should not be making adventure movies at his, unless they want to like incorporate it in the plot, like the way they did Creed.
Right.
Harrison Ford should not be making Indiana Jones movies now in the spring of 2020, but certainly not in the summer of 2022. That was literally
the cat knocking stuff over.
What happened? You sat down?
Yeah, she knocked up my table fan over and then freaked out. I totally agree. It's gotta be a Creed thing, or I don't even know if I want to see it. Like, it's at the point now that my nostalgic love for Indiana Jones, I don't want to taint it. You know what I mean? Like,
I think because I'm just a smidge bit older than you.
Yeah.
My love for Indiana Jones, I will go see it.
Okay.
And I'll be excited to go see it, but I'm not happy about it.
I'm not
on board. And I'm gonna want to be surprised. I'm gonna want to be pleasantly surprised.
What's your favorite Indiana Jones movie? Because here's one where I'm very different on this.
Okay.
The one that I love the most is the one that we owned, and we only owned it because my aunt worked on the production of it and gave us the screener tape for it.
And which one was it?
Temple of Doom. And I love Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom is great, but Raiders of the Lost Ark is the best one.
Yeah, most people love Raiders of the Lost Ark, but for me, Temple of Doom has so much more action in it in my like memory. Because and also, Short Round.
Oh, yeah, sure. Dr. Jones!
Dr. Jones!
Yeah. When I worked in the prison, there was a guard there, a correctional officer, and his last name was Jones. And every time I saw him, and hopefully I'd be like way down the hallway, so I would have to shout it real loud. I'd be like, Dr. Jones! Dr. Jones! I thought the shit was funny.
I'm right there with you.
I'm not sure if he did or not, but I did. So.
All right, so continuing just a little bit here with some...
Hey, I want to say one Disney quick thing, because we've never really talked about Indiana Jones so much.
Okay.
So just want to say one quick reason why Raiders of the Lost Ark is my favorite. It's a really close analogy to the reason why... You ready?
Yeah.
Why Iron Man is among my favorite Marvel movies.
Oh.
And the reason why I say... I'm not trying to make some bold declaration, but I'm just saying... The two are linked for this reason. When I saw Indiana Jones, I remember falling in love with a new character and wanting to be this guy. Okay. I wanted to get a hat. I wanted to have a whip. I wanted to have a gun. I wanted to ride motorcycles and get dragged behind trucks and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And me and my friends, we played Indiana Jones all the time, and we just felt like he was the coolest dude that we could ever imagine.
How many of those things have you marked off your bucket list?
All of them.
Okay, all right, cool.
I mean, obviously.
Clearly.
But I felt the same way, like, at the beginning of the Iron Man, when he's in that Humvee, and they want to take a picture of him, and they, like, put up the gang signs, and he's like, no gang signs, and they're like, oh, sorry. And he's like, no, I'm just kidding, throw them up. Right? And, like, right from that, that was, like, the first little comic touch where I was like, oh, this is a cool dude. I want to be like Tony Stark. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
yeah.
I just think that's why Indiana Jones is, or why Raiders of the Lost Ark is so special, and why the first Iron Man is so special, because it was our introduction to two of the coolest characters of all time.
Right.
So that's for me, that's why.
Yeah.
All right, you want to go back to the next one that we're working backwards is Captain Marvel.
Yeah. I didn't realize they were making a second one, but all right, cool.
Yeah. That doesn't seem too outrageous.
No, I just don't know that it had like clocked yet for me, but
yeah. I love July 8th as a release date for Captain Marvel 2.
Yeah, I think that's a good I would imagine it's probably a good midsummer.
Yeah. Yeah, but you put a nice family release to hit the actual 4th of July weekend. And then right after that, so whatever that family release is, let's say it's like Minions or something, then you put the trailer for Captain Marvel 2 on every freaking screen in the building.
Exactly. I'm just looking to see what weekend that is. So the 4th is a Monday, so it's the weekend after the 4th of July. So
yeah.
I think Thorf is probably the movie I'm looking forward to the most right now. February release. I'm okay with that.
I was going to say, that's not as dramatic as you would think. You know, I mean, February is pretty early in 2022. What was it originally? It was originally scheduled for November of 21. So yeah, that's not a big push. That's like a few months.
Yeah.
And I do like that release too. I think I've always said, you know, February, March can be a decent time for, you know, a smart release.
Yeah. Doctor Strange in November. I think that's good too. The Eternals pushed to May.
Where are we at on the Eternals? Are we?
I don't know what to think. I honestly don't. It's going to take some trailers to convince me this is the show. This is the movie.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the characters, but I have faith because I was the same way with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
You know. And Black Widow.
Yeah, so now we have a couple that are just sort of... now we're getting a little closer to our... I mean, November 6th for Black Widow, and then that you have to remember that's 2 weeks before the new date for No Time to Die.
Right.
So it's interesting now that Black Widow opens before No Time to Die. And Mulan, I don't love July 24th as a date for Mulan. I would have rather they kept Jungle Cruise and done, you know, try to hit Mulan like a 4th of July type of thing. Or I feel like Mulan is going to take a hit. It's going to hurt, you know. I don't like that piece. I don't like Mulan opening on July 24th and Jungle Cruise going a whole year later. I don't know. I believe in momentum, and I believe in, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it doesn't matter, but I feel like Jungle Cruise was primed, ready to rock, looked awesome, and now we gotta wait.
Here's what I'm thinking. Mulan, they put a lot of money into the Asian market for Mulan. And for us, July 24th seems optimistic. But China's ahead of our schedule. And maybe by July 24th, they'll be more back, not normal, but more inclined to go to movies. You know what I mean? And hungry for it. And that's where they kind of, I think they're thinking their market's going to be rather than us.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Let's skip the Artemis Fowl story. We'll come to that after we look at some more schedule notes.
Okay.
A Quiet Place Part 2 was supposed to open in March a few weeks ago and is now slated for September 4th, which I believe is Labor Day weekend this year. And SpongeBob is now scheduled for a late summer release this summer, July 31st. Minions, The Rise of Gru got pushed back an entire year. So Minions will open July 2nd, 2021, almost a year to the date from when it was originally scheduled.
Yeah. I think that July release date is great. Kids, kids are going to be ready for outside. They're going to be ready for the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
So Universal has removed its adaptation of the Broadway musical Wicked from its release schedule entirely. What is that about?
I don't know. Maybe they lost a director, or how far along was it? Do you know?
I don't. I wonder. I hope I'm wrong. But I wonder if they're kind of thinking, like, let's wait and see how, because they got In the Heights coming out, Hamilton. They announced Hamilton. Wait, were those both Universal? In the Heights?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can look it up.
Well, we'll have to look that up. But if Universal is doing In the Heights and also Hamilton, then you might be tempted to think that with the delays and, you know, losing basically a season, are they just saying, like, hey, let's not continue to bet on musicals until we see how these other two do? Like, does that make sense? I don't know. I might be grasping for straws there.
In the Heights is Warner Brothers.
I'm sure Hamilton is too then, because those are both, what's his face? Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Let's see here. Walt Disney.
Oh, that's surprising. Yeah. All right, so speaking of Disney.
Yeah, Artemis Fowl. Yeah, this movie that I thought looked like bunk.
Looked like a TV movie.
Yeah, and you were like,
I think your phrase was like, hey, this should be like, this is really like perfect for something like Disney Plus.
Right, and you were like, I can't wait to see this movie because... Because it was a trailer and you saw it.
right.
Yeah. So it's they're skipping the theatrical release and they're putting it straight to Disney Plus.
So how stupid is that? Why are they putting Artemis Fowl to Disney Plus but not New Mutants? If you're gonna be obnoxious about it, which is what I think putting Artemis Fowl on Disney Plus, I think that's obnoxious. If you're gonna be obnoxious about it, get rid of some of your other junk, you know? Throw New Mutants out there.
Hey, maybe they're pacing themselves. Or or okay. Maybe they're afraid if they put out New Mutants, Disney Plus will crash. they're afraid.
Touché. Touché, mon frère.
Yeah.
All right. Now, for our listeners at home, this next news is... I'm going to just read it as it's written here. Check out these posters.
Hey, hey.
Awesome, right?
Check them out.
Are you guys digging them? Wow. Yeah, look at that. Oh, you got the red one. You see how that yellow one's in the middle? That's dope, man. You're lucky to have us.
I saw this while I was like looking up news, and I was like, oh, these are kind of cool. I want to show them to Penn, but I was too lazy to text you. But well, I'll post this on Facebook, but they're like, they're Star Wars posters, but it's like scenes, but then the way they're framed, they make silhouettes of the characters. It's kind of cool.
What it is it's three very cool, very artsy Star Wars posters. The first one is Star Wars, the second one is Empire Strikes Back, and the third one is Return of the Jedi. And what's kind of different, I'm sure, I mean, I feel like I've seen stuff like this before, but these are just pretty, really sweet. The first one's C-3PO, the second one looks like it's Boba Fett, and the third one is Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Is that middle guy Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Or is it Mandalorian?
That's Boba Fett. But it's like for C-3PO, like his eyes are the two moons of Tatooine.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, it's really well done. I'll post it on our Facebook page. It looks pretty good. So, yeah. All right, we do have a new trailer this week that neither of us watched.
Right.
And I'm not going to watch it because I'm just not in the mood for this kind of thing right now. Have you heard of the movie Train to Busan?
No.
It's a very, very popular Korean zombie film about people on this long train while the zombie apocalypse happens.
Okay.
And they can't stop the train because everywhere they go, the zombie apocalypse is happening. Well, apparently it has a sequel called Peninsula. And people are getting hyped for it. Because I guess Train to Busan is really popular. So if you're into zombie movies and now that doesn't bother you right now, go watch it.
You know what this whole conversation reminds me of?
The Penn Cinema podcast?
When you're like shopping for something, and it's usually like food. It's usually like a restaurant. And they say like, our world famous fried beans. And you're like, well, if it's world famous, how come I never heard of them?
Right?
And they're like, our world famous chef, Dr., you know, cooks a lot. You're like, well, if he's world famous, how come I never heard of the guy?
Hey, he's got a PhD in cooking.
I'm just saying. So we have this movie that is very popular called Peninsula, and I don't get it. I never heard of it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Podcast at PennCinema.com if this is something you're looking forward to. Tell us why these movies are popular.
I also would like to note a milestone.
Oh.
It took us 63 weeks, but we finally had an episode where neither one of us watched a new trailer.
Wow.
I also want to make one more sidebar around the coronavirus. The next person who starts an email, who sends me an email, and it starts with, like, Dear Penn, in these ever-changing times, or these, Dear Penn, in these evolving, challenging times, in these difficult times, like, don't just get, what do you want? What do you want? Spit it out. Don't, like, okay, I know. It's a pandemic. It's historic. It's never happened before. It's literally the biggest thing that's ever happened to the world. I'm fully up to speed. I don't need you to preface whatever stupid email you're sending me with, Dear Penn, in these trying times, I want to make sure you're aware that we have a 30% off sale for all Scotch tape starting on Friday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. I heard about the pandemic. I'm up to speed.
Well, Penn, in these trying times of uncertain things, the two of us watched Moonstruck.
Yeah, thank God.
From 1987.
So I have often said that Moonstruck is among my top three movies.
Yeah.
And I've watched it frequently. It hasn't been that long since I watched it. But I will say, I think I need to adjust my... I think this is my favorite movie, period.
Really?
I think so. I think I'm right there. I'm curious to hear what your what your perspective is on it, and you know, and maybe you didn't even like it, but it's just, I just think everything about it is fun, but it's also a little bit moving, and it's a little bit inspiring, like in the sense of like why we love watching love stories, you know, and sort of gives us hope. And I think it's well done. It's I don't know what you want to start us off, because this is the first time you ever saw it, or the first time you saw it in a long time?
This is probably the first time I've seen it. If I had seen it before, it was not as an adult.
Gotcha.
So I liked it. I liked it for a lot of reasons. Coming from an Italian family, like, I just related to a lot of the stereotypes, like how everyone says the last name.
Right.
John whatever, Kellyoni, or whatever. Like we definitely...
John Barrary!
Yeah, we definitely got that. I love the set design so much. It's just such... Well, I mean, New York, but also just, like, stereotypical Italian, like, decor, Italian-American decor. And, you know, just simple things. Like, she's like, Dad, we got to talk. And the dad's like, let's go to the kitchen.
Right. Right. He doesn't say what's going on. Like, no. He we go to the kitchen, we sit out.
Yeah, they say that at an Italian family get-together, everyone winds up in the kitchen, and it's true. I loved that aspect. I thought I was, I guess from a modern point of view, I was kind of like, where is this, like, what's the point of some of these subplots? And then as it went on, it was kind of like, I realized it was exploring love from all these different stages of relationships. You know, you had like, the girl who had kind of given up on finding someone, so she was settling, and then meeting an actual love. And then you had the parents who, one was, you know, stuck at home all the time, was a home wife, and so she had to deal with like her husband not loving her. And then they had the husband who was looking for love in other places. Like, everyone's kind of semi cheating on each other.
Yeah.
Just to trying to find like what's missing. And then you have the guy that I related to the most, the grandfather walking his five dogs all over the place.
Right.
And just like catching everybody in their thing. Right. I loved him. I really enjoyed it. I'm watching it, and like 5 minutes in, I'm like, man, the times have changed, because none of these guys are good looking guys, and they got these beautiful women. Like, what? What? Like, that would never fly. Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pine, you know, they'd be all these like these great, crazy good looking dudes with these girls, but instead it's just like weird-looking Nicolas Cage. And
I was going to say, what are you trying to say about our boy, Nicolas Cage?
Well, this is before he, like, was refined. Was this his first role?
This was not his first role, but it was certainly early. It was a big breakout. I don't know if our listeners all know, Cher insisted on him. Cher, like, went to bat for him with the director.
Really?
To get him the role. So yeah. She was smart enough to see him get that.
He definitely has the crazy eyes.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
That monologue when he's in the bakery, basically screaming at Cher, you know, he's got his hand, he's got his bride, you know, and when he's going nuts, and they say bread, and I bake bread, and it's funny because like, at the time, and even still to this day somewhat, it's such a passionate, incredible little monologue. But then it's hard a little bit to not see Nicolas Cage. You know what I mean? Having now seen him do so many movies with the crazy eyes, yeah. You know, and see it a little bit in there. But, you know, I just loved it. I love – you were talking about the different sort of angles on the love story, and I love how that scene at the end when Olympia Dukakis is walking home with the guy that she met for dinner. Mm-hmm. She didn't meet him, but, you know, they were both at dinner and had ended up talking and everything like that.
Frasier's dad.
What's that?
Frasier's dad.
Yeah, Frasier's dad.
Yeah.
And she said, he said, can I come up? And she said, no. And he said, oh, because somebody's home. And she said, no, nobody's home. But she said, I know who I am.
Yeah.
And I always think that's like a really overlooked but very poignant quote. And I think it's an important part of her character. Like, you know, for better or for worse, there's all these people in the movie who are trying to figure themselves out. Some of them are young, like Cher, and some of them are old, like Cher's father. But they're all still trying to sort of work through different stuff. And then you have Cher's mom, who's basically saying, like, I got problems too, but I know who I am. Yeah. You know, I don't need to, you know, figure this out. I know who I am.
There's a little bit more to it. She says, it's not because the house is empty, no one's home, and it's not because I'm married. It's because,
right,
I know who I am. So,
right.
Yeah.
That was great. Did you know the movie was originally called The Bride and the Wolf?
No, but it makes sense.
The other interesting thing about this is in the opening sequence, which is one of my favorite opening credit sequences of all time, I don't know if you noticed, like, Even when Cher was crossing the street, the truck that was driving behind her was the scenic truck from the Metropolitan Opera bringing the sets to the opera, and it said La Boheme on it. And originally, a little point of trivia here, the opening credit sequence was supposed to have music from La Boheme as the opening, like, you know, soundtrack. But they found from focus groups, people didn't like it, because they felt like they were being tricked into watching an art movie. So it's interesting because they put the now incredibly iconic That's Amore song, which is, you know, whenever I hear that song, I immediately think of Moonstruck. And they wanted something a little lighter, a little more pop, you know, that would make people feel a little bit more comfortable, like they're just coming to a regular movie, not some fancy opera, you know, art movie.
Right.
But I also love those, and it doesn't do anything for the plot except sort of a little bit establish Cher's character. I love the opening scenes where she's doing the books for the the morgue guy, the funeral director, and then the flower guy, and
yeah.
It's just cool. And the interaction with you know, the Capomagis, you know, just everything about this movie I just love.
I really enjoyed it. One of the things that I took home from it. And I'll accept all backlash at podcasts@penncinema.com. Cher is timeless.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, if you would have shown me this movie and say, how old is Cher? I would have said, probably pushing 50.
Right.
And then if you were to come to me with a photo of Cher, I'd be like, how old is she now? And I'd be like, probably pushing 50. Like, she's always looked older to me, but not like bad, just like she's always looked the same age.
Yeah,
to me,
her and Olympia Dukakis are only 18 years apart.
they look the same age in this movie, except for the hair, you know.
I don't know. I love Cher in this movie, and my favorite line of all time. This is a funny story because I texted it to you, and you told me that I texted it to you while you were watching Moonstruck, while that actual scene was happening on TV, right?
This is no joke. I am reading the text, and as I'm reading it, they are saying the words on TV. And I was like, what is happening?
Mind blown.
Yeah, yeah. It was
so
crazy.
The quote, my favorite quote of the movie is when Johnny Camerari tells her that he can't marry her, and she says, what? And then she gets all upset, even though she was just about to tell him that she can't marry him.
Right.
But a promise is a promise. So they get in this little fight about it, and they're yelling at each other, and Johnny Camerari says, in time, you will see that this is for the best. This is the best thing. And then she has my all-time favorite quote. She says, in time, you will drop dead, and I'll come to your funeral in a red dress. That's my favorite.
I love that whole scene at the end where everyone comes together. Well, side note, one thing we forgot to mention was the aspect of love from her aunt and uncle. Who like they're older and their love reblossoms for each other.
Yeah.
I thought that was really great. But
even the liquor store people, when the wife is yelling at him and she's like, I see a wolf in you, I see a wolf in everybody, and she's like kinda laying into him, and then he's like, you know what I see when I look at you? And she's like, what? And he goes, the girl I married. And then like, oh, shucks. Oh.
How many times have you used that on Amy?
All the time.
All the time.
All the time. It's brilliant.
One of the things I loved about this movie is the wife, the mom's like, confronts the husband about cheating. And this whole time she's said that people say that she always thought that he was cheating, but she never proved it. And
right.
The other characters have proven it, but it hasn't come out. And she's just like, have I been a good wife? And he's like, yeah. She just goes, well, then I want you to stop seeing her. And it's like this heated moment. And he slams the desk and he stands up. And you think it's going to be this big thing of monologue. And he's just like, all right. And he sits down and he's just like, I love you.
Yeah.
You know, even though he was being a fool, he's like, yeah, you're right. I got this. I got you.
I also love when Cher confronts his dad at the opera when he's at the opera with his girlfriend, and he says, okay, I didn't see you here. And then Cher goes, I don't know if I saw you here or what.
But right after the wife like tells him not to see the girl anymore, and that happens, Johnny comes over and Cher goes to get the door, and the dad's just like, tell them now. They find out eventually.
All right, so I got two more things I want to say about this movie, and then we can move on.
Okay.
First of all, incredible, incredible, incredible soundtrack / score / use of music.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, even like how they have the tie-in with the opera, and it's a little bit corny, but like the opera song like ends, but bum. And then they cut to a new scene, and it's like just like everything about it, like just I just absolutely love it. And then the other thing that I want to say about this movie is, especially Cher, but also Olympia Dukakis and the dad. A lot of the best lines are not lines, but they're just like eye contact. You know what I mean? Like that scene you're talking about where they're all sitting around in the kitchen at the end of the movie. And Cher like has her head in her hand, and you like the camera catches her eyes, like she doesn't move at all, but she like looks left and right, you know. And there's a lot of that throughout the whole movie. Just brilliant, brilliant acting. I just can't say enough good about it.
Yeah, I loved it. That was great.
All right. We'll talk later at the end of the show about what we're watching next week, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, unless you want to do listener notes now and figure it out.
Let's do listeners' notes now and figure it out.
All right. So Curtis Zimmerman wrote us in, and he said we're one of his favorite podcasts, so thanks so much, Curtis. And then he followed that up and said he thought we should watch a movie called Short Term 12, starring Brie Larson. Said it's one of his favorite movies. I've never heard of this film. Have you?
I never heard of it either. I looked it up. It came out in 2013, Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty, I don't want to say intense, but it doesn't look like it's a light movie. You know, it looks like it's got a pretty good message. I'm definitely going to watch it. I will 100% watch it and talk to you about it next week. I think according to what I can gather, it seems to touch on some mental illness questions. And yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like a sort of light, easy movie, but I'm down. I'll watch it.
Yeah. I say we watch it too. We also got another recommendation from Jordan. He said we should watch Face Off, which gets better with every view because it's so bad.
I have to tell you, I'm 100% on board to watching Face Off.
Yeah.
Because I know that, like, isn't this the movie where Nicolas Cage sort of began to get his reputation for being, like, insane?
Yeah.
Isn't this the one where he sort of turned the corner?
Yeah. Yeah, I really feel... And we're also supposed to believe that by changing the face on someone, it changes the way their whole body looks.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally down for watching Face Off, and I'll probably try to talk Marley and Kayla into watching it with me.
are we doing a double hitter next week?
Yeah. I think that's a perfect combination. Short Term 12 and Face Off. I think that's like the perfect.
Perfect. All right. So
listeners' notes. I also want to reach out. I want to encourage people to write us, podcast@penncinema.com. I want to hear about what people are watching.
Yeah.
Because we're getting into the third week, right, of being at home. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I finished Netflix, but, like, now what? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like everybody kind of watched what they want to watch. And now we're, like, really scrolling through, like, you know, trying to find stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel that for sure.
So podcast@penncinema.com. What I'm especially interested in is I like movies more than series. So let me know what good movies, even if it's a classic that I probably already saw, but maybe I haven't thought of it in a long time, hit me up and, or hit us up and let us know what it should watch. And also the other idea that I had is hit me up if there's a classic, because I think, you know, everybody knows me well enough by now. Like, a lot of classic movies I've never seen.
Oh.
So hit me up with, like, an old-school classic that, you know, maybe I never saw it, and I should definitely watch it, because I'd be game.
Because I'm going to be in the same boat, too. So, yeah, I'm down.
All right.
For that.
All right.
All right, well, let's get into what we've been watching and reading. I'm still working, so I don't have a million amounts of time, but I'm definitely sinking a lot of it into The Expanse.
What did you just say? I don't have a million amounts of time.
Yeah, that's how they measure it, right?
I don't have a million amounts of time. Ben,
you're just rolling around with millions amounts of time over there. You forget what it's like.
That's time, maybe? That's all I got. What are you talking about? Remember back in the old days when I used to say really stupid stuff like,
David, there's only so many minutes in the day.
Yeah. Guess what? That ship has sailed.
Now there's too many minutes in the day.
There are so many minutes. More? I got more minutes.
What do you got? Give it to me.
I got all the minutes you could ever hope for.
Please.
No, I'm only teasing. We're having a lot of fun, and we are saying how quickly the day goes, and also it's hilarious how I'm still not getting shit done. Like, I literally have nothing else to do, and I still haven't cleaned up my bedroom.
I like how you're like, wow, we're having a lot of fun. It's a great time over here. And then I remember seeing a picture from Amy yesterday. It's like, we put together every puzzle in the house.
Yeah, that's true. That's most Marley. All right, so what about this Tiger King?
Okay, so Simba's sister and I are watching through this and discussing it, and oh my gosh, when you're ready to see some crazy people, have you checked this out at all?
No.
It's about the world of people who have big cats as like pets / zoos of them, like in the States.
Okay.
And like, who's better at it, and how they're kind of like run like cults, and then this lady who wants to stop them. It's insane. And the one lady, they're like, well, she has all this money because she had a millionaire husband, and then he just disappeared, just vanished. And then it just cuts to like, like, no joke, like, 7 or 8 people who were like, oh yeah, she just fed them to the cats. Like, what do you think she did with them? People don't just disappear. She fed him to the cats. And like, so it's crazy. It's crazy. So I've got that. I'm almost on The Expanse. I'm in season 4. It's great. And I've been playing this video game called Control, and that's been a lot of fun. Weird to explain, but it's just like a paranormal game. So having fun with that. Now, moving on to Penn stuff, I hear some propagandas in here.
Yes. You want to make an accusation here, David, or what? You want to just float it out there into the cosmos and be all coy?
Some people.
It has been reported.
Yeah. Are coming at me with, like, did you hear the news? I heard, this was on the internet. This was, Big Penn news. He got through chapter one of Dune. Big Penn news. Took him 3 weeks to quarantine. He finally finished the first chapter.
All right, so it's true. And I want to brag a little bit. On how lucky I have it. How lucky of a person I am.
Uh-huh.
Not only am I lucky enough to have a guy like you in my life who says, hey, Penn, you got to read Dune, right?
Yeah.
But I'm also lucky enough to have a daughter like Marley who says, hey, I will read Dune with you. I want to participate.
What?
But it keeps getting better. We were all laying around in the couch bed. Did I tell you about the couch bed?
Well, wait. Is this the... I think last week you reported that Kayla just made the statement, I'm bringing my bed downstairs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's progressed.
Kayla's bed, actually, we have one of those couches. I think they call it a sectional, where it's sort of like in a U shape or a corner-like piece thing. And Kayla's bed fits, like, perfectly. And when I say perfectly, I don't mean pretty well. I mean it fits like a hand in a glove. So we put her bed in the sectional, and now we spend our days in the couch bed.
So what happens when she wants to go to bed and everyone's watching TV?
It was a little bit of a misnomer. She did not bring her bed down.
Oh.
She brought we have a guest room. She brought that bed down.
Okay.
She can still go up to her room when she wants to get away from us or you know, go to sleep or
whatever. Why would she ever want to?
Right. Yeah. Why would you? That's crazy talk. So we're all laying around the couch bed, and Marley and I started talking about, let's start reading Dune. Or no, we said, let's listen to it on audiobook. And then I said to Amy, do you want to read it to us?
What? No way!
And she did!
What?
Yeah, so Marley and I laid on the couch bed, and Amy got herself a little cup of tea and sat there and read chapter one. It was the best, half hour, 20 minutes of my life. It was amazing.
Wow. Now, are you going to wait for that to happen again before you read any more?
No, I think we need to continue on. That may have been a one-and-done type of situation.
Because I'm like, if you're going to wait for that, we might as well just call it quits.
I also have to say, we thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, we're hooked. Like, okay, we want to find out. What's the guy's name? Paul?
Yeah, Paul Atreides.
Yeah, so we want Paul what?
Atreides.
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 We had a little trouble with some pronunciation.
Well, you know, if you need to call on anyone, you got the Harkonnens, the Atreides, the Carinos, right?
So, like, at least five times during this first chapter, one of us said to the other, I have no idea what's going on.
So that's not uncommon. This, at the beginning of the book, they're just throwing world building at you constantly. They're like, have you met Thufir Hawit? He's a Mentat. And you're like, a what? Huh? A what?
Yeah. So we're on board. We're underway. We're underway with chapter one. And I guess what comes next? Chapter two?
Yeah. If you read it chronologically.
Yeah. Oh, that would be some next level shit. Picking up the chapters randomly.
So, oh, it'd be so confusing. Your next thing on here, and I'm assuming you finished this, it has YouTube. And not YouTube as in, like, the platform, but you space tube.
Okay, well that's just a typo.
So
is that better? Feel better?
That, I feel better about that. Now, did you finish all of YouTube?
I finished YouTube. Now, here's the thing. I have something to tell you.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready?
Hold on.
All right.
She went running.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah, now I am.
All right, everyone at home listening, if you're driving, I don't want you to run off the road. I want you to, you know, calm down, because I'm gonna drop something. This is what you would call groundbreaking.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
If you have, like, Fire Stick or Apple TV or, like, one of those types of programs.
Yeah.
You can watch YouTube on your TV.
What? Everyone's amazed.
The crowd goes wild. Now, Marley claims, but she, you know, you can't believe a word she says. Marley claims she's been doing this for years.
What?
Come on. Watching YouTube on TV? Get out of here.
Who does that?
That's crazy talk.
Yeah.
So anyway, I recently discovered what everyone else in the world already knew, which is that you can watch YouTube on your TV, and that has, for me, opened up an incredible world of content. I'm watching old marathons. I'm watching classic triathlon competitions.
Whoa.
I'm watching documentaries that aren't good enough to be, like, on regular TV.
You're such an exercise junkie. You watch other people exercise. I can't even. I can't relate to you at all right now. Oh my god. Because when you can't get out to run, you better watch someone else run.
Oh no, I'm also running.
Oh.
Yeah, I just finished up my biggest week of the year. I ran 48 miles this week.
What?
So that was a good week. Good solid, good heavy week. My marathon on May 17th, the one that I've been training for, was canceled.
Yeah.
Or it was postponed till October. So I'm a little bit in nowhere's land, so whatever. But anyway, we also watched Pitch Perfect 1, Pitch Perfect 2, Pitch Perfect 3. We also watched High School Musical 1, High School Musical 2, and I have to say, Kayla watched High School Musical 3 on her own.
What? How? Why?
Well, we all begged her to wait until we were all together, but, you know, she snuck off while we were doing a puzzle and watched it.
My email of the week was, you going, I can't talk right now, I'm in the middle of a Pitch Perfect marathon, wish you were me. Oh, I died.
Yeah. So we also have on our agenda forthcoming the Rocky franchise from start to finish.
Okay.
Grease 1 and 2, a couple others that we're going to dig through.
You're not going to do Lord of the Rings?
You know, I was thinking about doing Lord of the Rings. I think I was when I was talking a few minutes ago about like a classic movie, like I've seen Lord of the Rings, but I haven't seen it in 100 years, and that would be a good one, wouldn't it?
And have you seen the extended editions?
No.
Totally different movies.
Okay, which one's better?
Oh, extended. You'll never watch the theatrical again.
All right, where do you watch that?
Shoot.
I'll find out.
Online somewhere, probably.
Probably on YouTube.
Probably.
Maybe. Probably.
All right. Next week, we got the Brie Larson movie, and we got Face Off.
Short Term 12 and the Nicolas Cage movie, Face Off.
Yeah.
Episode 64/4.
And we want to hear all about what everyone else is doing during quarantine. So that's the big thing. So once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care. And
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Great. Nice. That was awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.